This is Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, and Pat Daniel. Sports Talk is heard across the state on radio affiliates of the Sports Talk Media Network and is streaming live on sportstalksc.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number to call in is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now, here are Phil, Chris, and Pat with tonight's edition of Sports Talk.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Sports Talk Media Network. Happy Friday afternoon to you. What a beautiful day it is in South Carolina. And we are happy to be coming to you from tonight live from the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic at the State Fairgrounds. That's just part of what we're going to be doing tonight. We've got Smitty up in Greenville for the NCAA Women's Sweet 16, where South Carolina will play tomorrow afternoon. Press conferences today, and there were games up there today as well. We'll talk about that. We've got the second half of the men's Sweet 16 being played out tonight around the country. Man, some great games last night. We'll talk all about that. We've got baseball tonight. South Carolina opening a series at home against Missouri. Clemson opening a series at Georgia Tech. Other baseball involving state teams as well. So we have got a full boatload of great stuff for you tonight. And I know Smitty's standing by. I know Chris Bergen's standing by. I know Pat Daniel's standing by. But tonight we introduce yet another guest host on Sports Talk. He is the Major Billy Downer.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Phil. It's the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic Edition.
That is such a talent. People do not realize what a talent that is to be able to do a was that a turkey or a duck call?
That was a duck call. This is a turkey call we're playing now, because that's all we're going to hear while we're doing the show.
It's turkey calls.
It's turkey calls, yeah. And duck calls. Yeah.
Everybody wants to show off their skills, such as you.
That's
with
correct.
The turkey call. I'm waiting for the ducks and the turkeys to come flying in here at the building. We're going to talk more about everything that's going on here this weekend. But Major Downer has already lassoed a special guest for us tonight right off the top of the show, Major.
Yes, I have. I have. So we have members of the Richard Wynn shooting team. And with us right now on the show is a senior, and her name is?
Danny Goings.
Danny Goings, and you are a senior at Richard Wynn, and you've been shooting for how long?
This is my first year shooting.
First year shooting. So do you shoot sporting clays?
Yes, sir.
You enjoy it?
Yes, sir.
So what got you to shoot sporting clays?
I just transferred to this school. It's a small private school, and this amazing group of girls came up to me and asked me to come and shoot with them to finish their team. You have to have at least three to qualify, and I wanted to help them succeed and be able to compete.
So what made you want to be a part of a shooting? Have you ever shot before?
I have. I grew up shooting with my dad and, you know, in the backyard and stuff, so I already had previous experience, so thought
cool.
That would help.
Cool. All right. Now tell us something else. I know, Phil, we like to talk sports on the show, and
yep.
She was telling us a little tidbit about her. You also play
volleyball.
And you're going to play volleyball after high school?
Yes, sir. Right now I'm looking at two offers, but I'm intending to finish the career playing volleyball at Columbia College.
Nice.
Good for you. And you're going to shoot. That's great.
I'm going to put you in my recruiting report. Who are your two offers from?
USC Sumter and USC,
my
not
hometown.
USC, Columbia College.
C
yes,
squared.
Sir.
C squared.
There you go.
Now, are you a, I'm going to ask a question from lack of knowledge. Are you a setter or a, what are you?
So I am a defensive specialist, also known as a DS, but I have occasionally been a hitter, the people that spike the ball.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
nice.
Good
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. You've got two other members of the team.
Yes, sir.
So let's pass off to our next shooter here.
Okay, we got another shooter coming up. Stand by. Not to be confused with, what was that TV show, Shooter Magruder? Shooter McGavin? Yeah, that's not what we're doing here. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Major. And
my name is Ella Grace.
Ella Grace, and you are?
I'm a junior.
At Richard Wynn?
Yes, sir.
And you've been shooting how long?
About 5 years.
5 years, okay. And what's your favorite? Do you shoot sporting clays only? Do you shoot skeet, trap?
I shoot sporting clays, skeet, and trap.
Okay, which is your favorite?
Sporting clays.
Okay, what are you best at?
Sporting Clays.
That's just why you like it the most.
Yes, sir.
What's the most? What's the hardest for you?
Probably skeet.
And why is that, you think?
It's just a little bit more challenging the way the birds are set up.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It looks easy because it's the same shot every time, but
it's all a mental game.
It is a mental game. It absolutely is. So, Ella Grace, tell us a little bit more about you. What other sports do you play in high school?
I played basketball.
Okay. Basketball, and you shoot shotgun sports.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And how much longer do y'all have in your shotgun season?
We have this month and a couple other shoots. And
okay. So tell me about why y'all here at the Classic today.
We are selling tickets to kind of help support our team.
Okay. So you're doing a raffle?
Yes, sir.
Basically for raising money for your team because your team has to pay for shotgun sales, practice time on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're helping get people to raise money for that, and y'all are raffling off a few shotguns, right?
Yes, sir.
So folks could come here to the Classic, and your booth is in the Moore Building,
yes,
I think.
Sir.
So if you come to the Classic this weekend, we'd love for you to come see the Richard Wynn shooting team. And what's your mascot?
An eagle.
It's the Richard Wynn Eagles.
Mm.
There you go. The Eagles. Come see the Eagles at the Sportsman's Classic here in the Moore Building, and they're selling tickets for $20.
Yes, sir.
To raise money for their team. We are glad to have them a part of the team. We got one more junior member.
One more.
And I got to put her on here because her dad used to work with us, so we're going to put her on.
She's the youngest. She's the youngest of the three.
She's the youngest of the three. That's correct.
She's the junior member of the three. I know one thing, Major Downer, like what happens like when these young ladies get to be, dating age, but the guys know that these young ladies know how to handle.
You see the dad right there? He's smiling. You see that?
Yeah.
That's why.
He doesn't have to sit on the front porch with his own rifle, right?
No, not at all.
They can handle their own business. Go ahead.
All right, so tell us your name.
Charlotte Lewis.
Charlotte Lewis. And you are how old?
I am 11 years old.
And you just started shooting in the last few years, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're hoping to be on the varsity squad next year, right?
Yes, sir.
And you shoot with what's called the
Eagle Eyes,
which is where y'all get used to shooting and kind of practice.
Yeah.
Good for you. And your dad was a good friend of mine. He went to the Citadel, and he worked for us until he retired. So we're glad to have you with us tonight on the show as well. I want to thank all of y'all for being a part. And what other sports do you play? Because I asked her about that.
I play basketball, volleyball, softball, and sports.
All those. I got it. So right now you're playing softball, right?
Yes, sir.
That was my daughter's favorite sport, as Phil well knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you're in your shooting sports, getting your shooting sports. Do you shoot sporting clays only? Or do you shoot skeet track?
I shoot sporting clays.
Okay. And you enjoy that?
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite target to shoot? Do you know? Doesn't matter, just as long as you're shooting targets. I got you. And what kind of shotgun do you use?
I forgot.
Is it a pump or automatic? Or is it over and under?
Sure.
Not sure. It's good. What do y'all shoot?
Over and under.
Over and under? Okay, y'all are pros then.
Hmm.
But Richard Wynn, thank y'all for being a part of our show. And good luck to y'all as you raise money this weekend. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys on the flip side.
Guys, thank you very much. Appreciate y'all stopping by. Major Downer.
Hey, always a pleasure to have these young ones here.
You are such the man. You noticed them walking around with their shooting shirts on.
I did.
And you grabbed them very quickly. Very nice. Very nice. All right, stand by. We got to work everything all in together. Let's welcome in Chris Bergen, standing by at the Bergie Palace in the PD. Pat Daniel in our studios in Columbia. Matt Smith up in Greenville for the women's basketball tournament. Bergie, how are you, sir?
I am well. I've got a duck call that I could send over for you guys to use as well. I've never actually utilized it.
You have a duck call?
I do. I got one several years ago, but I've never used it. So maybe Major Downer could teach me how to use that thing appropriately. Of course, I've never shot ducks either, so that may be part of the problem.
Well, we got to start somewhere, so we start with a call.
Well,
but you don't have it with you is what you're telling us, huh?
I've got it. It's sitting on my desk over here. I just have to bring it. I don't want to embarrass myself nor the ducks by trying to blow it here on the air.
So obviously the question that comes to mind is, why did you buy a duck call?
I didn't. It was a gift.
It was a
gift. The most misappropriated gift of all time, yes.
That's great. Matt Smith from Greenville, been watching women's basketball, talking with the USC, almost said Lady Gamecocks, the USC women today, action underway in the Sweet 16 there in Greenville. And Smitty, we had an upset in the first game there with Miami knocking off Villanova. What's it like up in Greenville?
And now, I think it was a great idea for the way the women are doing the tournament this year, where Greenville is hosting two regionals in one, and it got going early. I had trouble finding a parking spot. I dropped your name and eventually got in, but initially it was crowded as early as 11 a.m. when Dawn Staley held her press conference. And so I think the women's game truly is growing, and I think a lot of the credit goes to South Carolina. And one thing that Dawn Staley said today, which I found so interesting, was, you know, she's trying to pull in a Dabo Swinney trick or a Lou Holtz trick, trying to keep her team humble. But she said, you know, we're not a UConn or a Tennessee. That's not how we look at us ourselves. We're not a powerhouse program. But I'll say this, however they view themselves, I think I think no one can argue this because the way we cover the Gamecocks now, and Dawn Staley and Aaliyah Boston and Zaya Cook and the rest of them, the way we follow this team now, this particular program has elevated women's basketball nationwide. And that is so fascinating that the cultural touchstone that South Carolina women's basketball is, it is that big. But just bringing that up, because Dawn Staley was very clear about how she wants to keep her team humble. And she said, this is a blue-collar team. Anybody can do what we've done here at South Carolina. We're not some blue blood.
Yeah. So this raises a question in my mind, and I'll throw this out to the panel. Chris, Smitty, Pat, Major, even, you can. So in men's basketball, in the men's tournament, when a lower-seeded team advances, you know, that team is known as Cinderella. In the women's tournament, when a lower-seeded team advances, like Miami, a 9-seed, we can't call them Cinderella, because Cinderella refers to a male team that, I mean, takes on the qualities of that Walt Disney character as they move their way through the tournament, and they're viewed as something special. In other words, we need a male counterpart for the women's team that is sort of like Cinderella.
Why? It's the same thing.
No,
Phil.
Because
Cinderella is the Cinderella story. It doesn't matter if it's male. You're attaching a gender to this.
I think that we need to have a opposite connection for the women, like for the men, we're using a female. We need to have a male. Just humor me and give me a male equal of what a Cinderella would be.
Rocky.
Oh,
That is good.
That's good. But Major,
that
down
is good.
Rocky
that
story.
Is good. Yeah, that is good.
We put up with
That's
this
good.
All the time, Major Downer.
I mean, it's the Clubber Lane, you know, Rocky story. You know.
Phil, go ahead, Phil Smitty. Phil pulled for Bobby Riggs against Billie Jean King. Okay, we deal with this all the time.
You're kidding.
How about one?
Well, he was old.
I still don't agree.
He was very old.
I don't agree with this whole theory, though, that you can't call a women's team that does well that's a lower seed not a Cinderella team. Why not?
Well,
Cinderella story is still the Cinderella story, right?
I hear what you're saying. I'm just thinking in today's world, in today's climate.
Okay.
That some people might be offended by the fact that for the men, you've taken a feminine approach to saying this team is this female type of image as it's one. And so for the women, I think there should be a male, and I think you named it. Miami, for example, would be a Rocky story.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or maybe the ladies should. Maybe the ladies should just take back the term Cinderella, and the men should go find a better term.
Well, see, the men got the head start by all these years. They had already established the Cinderella story.
Right, but if you're going to use that,
Before the women came around. So,
but from a gender perspective, you would think the ladies would want that back.
If we stick with Cinderella, that makes my championship pick Purdue the pumpkin in this scenario.
Holy cow.
Oh, I was checking the standings last night. We have a bracket where people send in their brackets of competition, and I'm like in the 20% now. This is the worst bracket I've ever had. I mean, I had to go to the second page and to the bottom of the second page to find my entry.
It happens. Phil.
Chris, I think you're doing okay.
It is not easy, Phil, this year in particular, and I was pulling mine up just to see how well I have done. I think I had Connecticut getting to the Elite Eight, so I'm pretty happy about that, and still have Alabama live, obviously, to win the national championship. So I'm in the mix, but I think if memory serves, Smitty's probably still ahead of all of us.
I couldn't find yours last night, Smitty. What pseudonym are you using?
I'm under Boeheim's Revenge.
Is that you, Boeheim's Revenge?
Yeah.
That's why it says Smitty from Sports Talk. Out to the side.
Okay. I didn't see that when I was looking through it last night.
Chris is actually ahead of the pack. Chris is in 12th
I'm
right
actually
now.
Doing better than I thought. Yeah,
he's leading the way.
That's what I'm saying. He's the guy that's been kicking butt amongst us. I mean, we do have a leader who's got 99% thus far. Yeah, that's good. That's good picking right there with the up and down nature of this tournament. What a game last night between UCLA and Gonzaga.
Two of them.
My goodness.
Two of them. The Kansas State-Michigan State game went to overtime. Yeah. It was a terrific game, too. I mean, if you didn't watch last night, you missed two outstanding games. And it was funny. Gonzaga ran a play that I saw Jay Wright, he did an interview this afternoon, said that Villanova used to beat North Carolina in the national championship game back in, I think, 2016. The three-pointer that they made was the exact same play that Villanova ran against the Tar Heels. And it reminded me of what Bob Ritchie told us last night, that Furman's game-winning play with the J.P. Pegues three-pointer was actually stolen from Tony Bennett in Virginia from several years ago. So I guess proof positive there's nothing really new in college basketball.
No, they're all stealing from one another. So we'll talk more about that coming up. We're going to hear from the USC women. Anything? Oh, by the way, before we get to that, let me mention, in case you weren't aware, two Gamecocks are putting their names in for the draft. G.G. Jackson today announced that he is going forward with the NBA draft, and he won't be coming back. Meechie Johnson, in kind of a strange, he didn't put out a statement himself, but there was another media organization that I'd never heard of before on his Instagram that put out that he is putting his name into the NBA draft. I don't think South Carolina, unless something came out in the last little while, I haven't seen where South Carolina's put out anything official like they did with G.G. Jackson. They went through the whole hullabaloo of putting out a statement with quotes from Jackson and Paris and a whole Twitter picture and all that. But I don't think Meechie Johnson's been given the same so-called courtesy, I guess you could say. Maybe when he says something publicly, they'll follow suit. So those two are gone. But, Smitty, anything significant from Staley and the players today up in Greenville?
Well, it is interesting. If you haven't been following this Gamecocks club all season long, they did play UCLA back in November. So that makes this sort of an interesting matchup here. And after the ball game, the two coaches met and shook hands, and Dawn Staley told Corey Close, the head coach for UCLA, "We'll see you again." She really was impressed with UCLA, and rightfully so, and that's why they've made this run in the NCAA tournament. Also, you know, Dawn Staley talked about she was asked by Pete Iacobelli, so she didn't do this on her own, but she was asked about diversity and all the female coaches that are a part of the Sweet 16, and I thought it was interesting the way she talked about it. She said, yeah, it is great, and I think hiring women has become more in vogue and more accepted as head coaches. But then she made the point she didn't want to exclude the male coaches that had given so much to the game over the decades, and she enjoys seeing young coaches come over from the men's side to the women's game because they're passionate about the game and coaching young women. So I thought that was interesting. Something, you know, the question she twisted just a little bit. And also, to me, the real headline coming out of this is, you know, this game is in Greenville. And Dawn Staley is trying to continue to downplay that, you know, and obviously you want to, you know, how big of an advantage it really is. It's not a home court. But the way the Gamecock fans are traveling and supporting this team, the way they did in the SEC tournament, Phil, you were there in person, the way they did in the first two rounds, it is a home court advantage, and UCLA's had to come all the way across the country. This is a good team. They led South Carolina by as many as 10 points in Columbia. They led into the third quarter. They have a great player in Charisma Osborne coming off a 36-point game. But can they overcome South Carolina in what will be essentially a home atmosphere?
Yeah. be a big crowd there for the Gamecocks tomorrow afternoon, no doubt about it. Major Downer, we are here at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. It began today here at the fairgrounds, got underway at noon, and expecting thousands upon thousands of people to come through here over the next, what would be left of 2 days.
Absolutely. Looking, you know, we traditionally have over 40,000 people come through here, a big crowd over the next 3 days. Today, of course, the gates open at 12 o'clock, close at 8 tonight. This is our long night. Tomorrow, gates open at 9, and the show will close at 7. And on Sunday, the gates will open at 11 and will close at 6. A lot of things. You can hear the turkeys in the background.
Mm-hmm.
We started off with turkey calls and duck calls. I was using a call right here from the waterfowl company. A friend of mine from Sumter, South Carolina, has that, and he's got a booth here. We've got some folks here. The turkey call is from Ace Basin Custom Calls, and they're right here across from us calling away.
Yep.
A myriad of callers here in the Classic here in the Canny and the Goodman buildings across here tomorrow. Probably expecting maybe a little rain, I think. So it might be a good day to come be in the side of the big buildings and take a look. But, again, we look forward to seeing good crowds, a lot of outdoor things here. What I see this year is we've got a lot of clothing on the shelves. A lot of outdoor clothing, hats. Hats are the big thing, trucker hats, and there's 1,000 different ones here to choose from. So invite everybody out to the Classic this weekend.
Okay, going to hit the break here at the bottom of the hour on Sports Talk. Even though my clock says it's only 6:26, but for some reason we're going to the break. Oh, we'll be back.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Corbett. I've been an attorney for more than 30 years. There's one thing I've learned about injury cases. It's you need the personal touch. You need the lawyer to get to know you and describe your damages. You don't want a case manager talking to an insurance company and then talking to you and then talking to maybe to a lawyer with limited experience at the last minute to try to settle a case. I talk to you. I find out what your case is about. Jim at JimCorbettAttorney.com. Jim at JimCorbettAttorney.com for your injury cases.
Show your team pride wherever you go with Founders Federal Credit Union's Collegiate Debit Cards. Get your University of South Carolina and Clemson University debit cards at any Founders office or by calling 1-800-845-1614. Plus, our debit cards are digital wallet ready, so you can pay however you please. Not a member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com or one of our 37 convenient locations to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Have you turned on the fun? Try Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery. Pick one number from 1 to 15, win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers, and you're guaranteed to win. Play twice a day to double your fun. It really is that easy. Visit sceducationlottery.com to get the details. Cash Pop, it's the light of the party.
Where to get tickets.
All right, we're back on Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network on a Friday night. That was my fault. I thought we were headed toward the bottom of the hour, but that was just a regular half hour in the half hour break, so that's on me. Good job, Pat, catching that. We're at the Sportsman's Classic. Major Downer is alongside. Jeff Owens will join us in a little bit in the next half hour, give us the NASCAR preview tonight, and also, of course, at 7:30, birdies and bogeys around South Carolina. Birdies, bogeys, and biceps with Robbie Thames, George Bryan. I think George is going to have a special guest tonight as well. We got that coming up. Going to hear from the USC women from up in Greenville as well. Got some recruiting for you, too. Now we'll hit that bottom of the hour break. I'm back on time. We'll hit that, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We are back, Sports Talk, on the Sports Talk Media Network. We're here at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic at the – which building is this? Is this the Canty?
This is the Canty building.
We're in the Canty building at the State Fairground. That's Major Downer with us. We got Chris Bergen at the Berge Palace. You ever been to the Berge Palace?
I have not.
In Sardis. You've been to Sardis before.
I have been to Sardis.
Okay, well, that's where he is, Berge Palace in Sardis. Pat's at our studios in downtown Columbia, where you used to visit us at our studios.
I have yet to be there lately,
You need to come to our new studios, beautiful new studios there.
You have
there
been trying to woo me there.
Yes, like to have you come. And you can bring some food like you did
in the
past.
Do we have snacks there? I mean, is there anything?
Well, you can bring – we got a full kitchen.
Charcuterie bar,
got
anything?
A full kitchen. You can cook.
Full
you
kitchen.
Can cook your heart out. You can bring in – some of that dove, and you can wrap it in
I've
bacon.
I've got to bring it. There's nothing going to be there.
And then you can get the little butter
no,
thing.
Like cheese that, or anything like
what's
that.
What's that butter thing that you like to put in?
The Cajun injectable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. Yeah. And Pat's back at the studio, and Smitty's in Greenville, where the USC women will play tomorrow. Smitty, can you update us on what's happening? LSU, I think, is playing now. We saw Miami, the true Rocky story of the women's tournament. It's a Rocky. It doesn't have the same flow as a Cinderella story.
It doesn't. I don't understand.
But it fits. So it's a Rocky story for the women. That would be Miami. What else is going on there, Smitty?
Well, LSU just has just retaken the lead against Utah. So LSU's having their trouble with Utah right now. Two really good clubs, though. You know, Utah is a 2 seed. LSU is a 3 seed. Of course, LSU's coached by Kim Mulkey, who's got championships under her belt at Baylor. So that's one of the teams that I think a lot of people have an eye on that could make a run in this tournament. But it's back and forth, and Utah just took the lead right back. So it's back and forth. Each team has held the lead throughout this one. It's 42-41, Utah over LSU about midway through the third.
Okay. Crowds, how the crowds look?
Crowds are terrific. Late arrival.
I think Smitty just dropped on us, but he did say really good crowds there in Greenville.
Yeah, they lower
some of it on television.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Smitty.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good crowds. As I said, late arriving for Villanova, Miami, and what you've got is some of what we see. If you're familiar with the men's tournament, a lot of times, you know, the top seeds will get a lot of the fans coming in to catch the other teams. So you kind of have a lot of LSU fans there that were watching Villanova and Miami. And, of course, Gamecock fans were already there just walking around checking it out because they've got the pass for the weekend. And of course, they play tomorrow. And to be clear, this is the other end of the bracket. Even though they're all in Greenville – LSU in Utah are part of what's called Greenville 2. That could be a little confusing, but if you look at the bracket, you can see it. They're in the bottom right-hand corner. They are actually, if they made the Final Four, LSU would not play South Carolina if the two teams kept winning. They wouldn't have a rematch until the final game. So even though they're both in Greenville, they're on the other side of the bracket.
How about Greenville, Major Downer, from a DNR standpoint and that part of the state? We talk a lot about various parts of the state and what things are from an outdoor standpoint, hunting, fishing, the strengths of those areas, that Greenville area up there, which is, you know, Greenville itself is becoming more cosmopolitan.
It is.
But
you've got the Riverwalk downtown, beautiful area down there, a lot of rejuvenation downtown. However, upper Greenville County, you've got some really mountainous regions that people don't even think about in Greenville County. You think of Pickens, you think of, you know, Oconee, but Greenville's actually got some mountains as well. So they've got black bear there, you know, and they've got, we talked about turkey season, you know, we got turkey calls everywhere here, but turkey season will be coming in Greenville on the 1st of April.
Okay.
It will open the 1st of April for them. And they're, you know, that's their opening day, where our opening day was March 22nd. This is the opening weekend, so their opening weekend will be the following weekend in April.
And again, the reason there's different opening weekends is just because the population or weather or what is it?
It's because of zones, game zones. And the game zones are set up based on just like, you know, planting seasons are different up there than they are here. The season's a little bit different. It's still a little colder up there. It's a little warmer, you know. So as far as topographically, it's different. ecologically it's different. You get down into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game zone up there is separated so that it more matches what will be good for the turkey there to give them more time to start there. You know, we talk about the gobblers wanting them have time to breed birds before you start trying to shoot birds. So you want them to have more time. So their breeding season may start a little later up there than ours.
All right, so, guys, I'm going to let the major here show off his talent with his turkey call. You got your turkey call?
Nope. I gave it back.
What'd you do?
I gave it back right across there.
Oh, what about your duck call?
I gave it back, too. But I can go get another one.
Go get another one because I want you to show off your skills. I want to get your what you consider to be your most inviting turkey
popular
call.
Popular call.
Well, just the one that you know that turkey out there can't resist.
Absolutely. I can do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
We'll get that.
We'll get a fresh one just
We'll get
a little
that
bit.
Coming up in a break. How
we'll
about
do.
That?
We'll do that.
All right, let me update baseball. How about that? Baseball, good outdoor sport. You're in the dirt. You're in the sun. It's kind of like hunting and fishing,
right,
baseball.
If you don't say anything about softball, you're not going to get upset.
And softball's a wonderful sport.
Softball's also started. You tend to look over softball.
Major Downer's daughter, Cora, is the head softball coach at Daniel.
That's correct.
Yeah. And almost got tossed the other day.
Yeah, she did. Bad call between second and third.
Always
she went
a bad
out there.
Call.
All I saw was the I saw her ponytail bounce, and I said, this can't be good. She leaned in. The play-by-play afterwards, she told me, she said, Tad, the umpire said, you need to watch your tone. She goes, I don't need to watch my tone. I'm not speaking loud. I'm just not agreeing with you.
That's the way to handle it.
She knows how to handle a weapon,
too. I mean, she does. She does. But she said, I'm not raising my voice. I'm just not agreeing with you.
Utah's taking a 42-41 lead. Guys, did you see last night the video after the NIT women's game? Of course, Clemson lost. This is not involving them, but Clemson did lose to Florida last night, so they're over. But after the Bowling Green and Memphis game in mm-hmm. the handshake line, did y'all see what happened?
Yes. Girl from Memphis threw a punch and knocked her out.
A girl from Memphis, one of the players, as they were going through the handshake line, right at the scorer's table, she stopped and said something to another player on the other team and then punched her. Sucker punched her, knocked her down to the floor.
Jamira Schutz is charged with assault.
Yes. Major Downer's all over it.
I'm over it.
Yeah. And now the police are involved, guys. But, I mean, yeah, here we go. I mean, I say, ladies, welcome to the world of men's sports. You know?
I mean, what was said,
you're
though,
acting more and more like the men in sports every year. I don't know. It had to be. I'm sure, guys, I guess, Chris, sure something must have happened during the game. Between those two to lead to something like that.
Or it's the fact that Bowling Green beat them down and Memphis players couldn't handle it. But when was the last time, since you're going to jump on the men for a minute, when was the last time you saw a men's team knock somebody out at the handshake line?
Well, last night, this wasn't this, but did you see in the Tennessee game, the player for Tennessee, who's got the really bad reputation, and he blindsided with a screen one of the – who were they playing last night? They were playing
–
Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Florida Atlantic, yeah. So, if you go – there's highlights of this on Twitter. One of the FAU players is running full speed, you know, back down the court and all the way down into the lane area. And, I mean, he just set a blindside pick that this guy ran into like a brick wall and just went down. And, I mean – actually, it wasn't a screen. It was more of a hip. He kind of threw his hip into him, kind of threw his body into him.
I mean, Grayson
it looked like
Allen
a pretty dirty
him, huh?
play. Yeah. It looked like a pretty dirty play, to be honest with you. I don't know if a foul was called on the play or not, but the FAU player went down hard. All right, Clemson and Georgia Tech, they are scoreless in the bottom of the third. Clemson has a hit. Georgia Tech has two. And pitching for Clemson tonight is Gordon, 2 1/3, 2 hits, 2 strikeouts, and a walk. South Carolina, Missouri will start at 7. As far as the Gamecocks lineup is concerned, Dylan Brewer going to get the call in center field tonight for the Gamecocks, as that position kind of has a revolving door. Will Sanders will be the starting pitcher for South Carolina, opposing Chandler Murphy, who is 3-1 on the season, and a 3.04 ERA. He's a right-hander. That's probably why Brewer, who is a left-handed hitter, is in the lineup as they go matchup there. And Sanders is 2-1, a 4.18 ERA. You know that's going to come down. You know that's going to get better as time goes on. He hasn't pitched his best anywhere near his best yet, so they're waiting for that to happen. So that's the latest with those two. Vanderbilt is blasting Mississippi State 14-2 in Starkville. Boy, the natives in Starkville are not going to be real happy. They'll go to 0-4 in the league if they don't have a miraculous rally. Bottom of the fifth, Vandy's up 14-2. Wofford is leading VMI 3-1, top of the fifth. North Carolina over Duke 1-0, middle of the fourth. Gardner-Webb and Winthrop are 2-2, top of the third. Presbyterian over Charleston Southern 3-1, top of the third. Towson leads College of Charleston 2-1, bottom of the third. The Mercer team is over, leading over the Citadel team 6-1. Sorry about that, Major.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Top of the third. Coastal with a 5-0 lead on Texas State in the second. Texas A&M over Tennessee 2-0 in the first. And you're up to date on the scoreboard for now. So let's go to the break. When we come back, Jeff Owens, we're going to work Jeff in a little earlier tonight. Jeff will join us. We'll get his views on what happened last week in Atlanta. What a great race that was. And the race coming up back in Austin, Texas, as they go road course racing for the first time this season at a great track there in Austin, Texas. Jeff will join us after the break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
South Carolina's largest hunting, fishing, and outdoor expo takes center stage at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. Come on down for a good time with over 350 vendors, Dock Dogs competition, extreme raptor show, kids catfish pond, and much more family fun. Hope to see you at the Classic March the 24th through the 26th at the South Carolina State Fairgrounds.
Hi, this is Billy Downer from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Are you looking for a safe place to shoot your rifle or handgun? Did you know that the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources operates four manned ranges across the state in Pickens County, Spartanburg County, Richland County, and Charleston County? For more information on our public ranges, visit dnr.sc.gov/shooting.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 college savings account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Talk on a Friday night here at the Sportsman's Classic at the Canny Building. Well, actually, we're in the Canny Building, but the Sportsman's Classic is spread throughout the fairgrounds. We invite you to come out over the weekend. Got plenty of time tomorrow and Sunday to take it all in, and there is a lot to take in. I mean, if you like just to eat, they got great food here. It's kind of like the fair. I saw some elephant ears, I guess you call them. What are those big things that have the powder all over them? Is that elephant ears?
Elephant ears, yes, sir.
Yeah, saw some of those walking around. And you can buy, of course, homemade things, homemade sauces, homemade barbecue sauces and mustards and things like that. They got all kind of great stuff here. So come on out. We're here just a little while longer. Sports Talk will be here till 8. They're open just a little while longer tonight, but then, of course, much of the day Saturday and Sunday. What goes great with the Sportsman's Classic but NASCAR and racing in Austin, Texas this weekend? The racing boys. Bow, 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 bow.
Love it when they're drafting. Love it when they're sliding. Love it when the back straight, the throttle's open wide. Love it when they're making lots and lots of noise. Can't wait to hear these doubles say.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Let's go racing, boys.
Let's go racing,
boys. Let's go racing, boys. In Texas, going racing in Texas. All my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee. Huh? Welcome in Jeff Owens in the Fast Lane with us here on Sports Talk. Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Great to have you with us. So I thought last weekend's race was terrific. I don't know what more you could ask for in terms of a clean finish and dicey racing, changing a position, a car coming from about fifth place to the front in the last couple of laps. What a job by the Logano team. And how'd you like the way that thing played out?
Yeah, I agree, Phil. I thought it was a great race. They've really done a really nice job with that racetrack, turning it into a restrictor plate race, and I think it's made the racing there a whole lot better. It is a lot like Daytona and Talladega, but it seemed like they were able to move around a little bit. We saw a lot more two-wide racing than just single-file racing. And I agree. I thought it was good action all the way through, and then at the end we had a great finish. I mean, you had multiple guys up there battling for the win, and then Joey Logano made a couple of great moves on that last lap and winds up winning the race. But, yeah, I thought it was a great show.
Yeah. I tell you, I think the – how would you grade the racing? We have five races so far. What kind of grade would you give the quality of the racing so far this season?
Well, you know, I thought the first three – you know, throw out the Daytona 500 because it is what it is. It's a, you know, a great event, and the racing there is pretty much always great just because of the spectacle of it and the impact of it. I thought the other three races were a little dull. I didn't really like the race at California. Vegas was kind of boring, I thought. Phoenix left a lot to be desired as well, but I do think the Atlanta race was really good. So I'd probably give them a C right now. I think they got a little bit to work on, and but that, you know, that happens sometimes. Every race is not going to be a great race, and they continue to tinker with this car. We got some new rules they're getting adjusted to, so I think it'll get better as the season goes along.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, you brought up a really interesting point when you were chatting about how good the racing was at Atlanta because of the speeds getting up almost to mimic what we get at Daytona and Talladega. And it's one thing I've always scratched my head about with regards to NASCAR. We're starting to see more and more short track racing and also road course racing in NASCAR, but very few sort of super speedway races. If Atlanta can reconfigure itself to turn into maybe almost to mimic Daytona, Aren't there a couple of other tracks around the circuit that could do the same? Because I actually enjoy those high-speed races like at Talladega and at Daytona.
Yeah. I enjoy them when they're restrictor plate races and the field is bunched up. You know, when you get on the unrestricted tracks like California and Las Vegas and some of those, you know, the field can sort of get spread out and one or two guys can get checked out. And, you know, and I thought that's what we saw a lot of at California and Vegas. But when you slow these cars down a little bit, even though they're still running really high speeds, when you put those restrictor plates on them and slow them down a little bit, you get the field bunched up, and every lap is bumper to bumper. And I think that's pretty exciting. And I agree. I think there's some more mile-and-a-half speedways that could maybe learn a lesson from Atlanta. The one that comes to most mind is Texas. The races there the last several years have not been very good, and they've got a paving problem. They need to repave that racetrack. So it would not surprise me at all to see them do the same thing at Texas, and I think that'd make for much better racing there as well.
probably too early in the season to push the panic button, but sort of looking through the finishes here after you get past all the Chevys and how good they have been, even in the absence of Chase Elliott here the past couple of races, and now Ford's got to win. If you're in the Toyota camp, first off, Jeff, what are they doing? And secondly, when do you start getting concerned that your cars just aren't running up front enough, aside from, you know, Christopher Bell finished third in Atlanta this weekend?
Yeah, I think they've got a lot to be concerned about right now because they have been off the pace a little bit. And, you know, they've had some changes among their teams as well. You know, Kyle Busch is gone, and that certainly, I think, was a big blow to Joe Gibbs Racing. And you replace him with a really young rookie who's got a lot to learn. Christopher Bell is still young, and, you know, they got Denny Hamlin there, but Truex has not run well. And I don't know, they just sort of, you know, they weren't that great last year until the very end when Christopher Bell came along. So I do think they've got some problems there that they need to address, get their cars a little bit faster. And but they got some young guys, too. You know, Hamlin's team added Reddick to their stable this year, and they're still trying to figure things out. So I think they're just lagging a little bit behind some of these more established Chevy and Ford teams that have been together for a while. And they seem to have the edge right now with this new car, and Toyota's got a little catching up to do.
Jeff Owens with us in the Fast Lane. So we're at COTA this weekend for the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. So NASCAR now, of course, I guess that's some kind of a sponsor's name, but, I mean, taking on a little bit of a European flair, going with the name Grand Prix for one of its races?
Yeah, that's a little weird. This is a Formula One track. You know, they opened this track for Formula One racing several years ago. It's a great facility, so I assume that's where that that nickname comes from. You know, that's what Formula One calls all their races and some of the IndyCar road courses as well. So I guess that's where I come from. It's a little bit weird, but yeah, we get our first road course this weekend. It's going to be interesting. They've got some rules changes for the road courses that will make things a little bit more interesting, and we'll see what happens. You know, we need the road courses to be exciting again because last year they didn't match up well with this new car, so they made some changes. They're going to run a similar package to what they had at Phoenix and some of the short tracks. And then they've also tinkered with the procedural rules a little bit. There's not going to be stages in this race. You're going to get stage points, but they're not going to throw the caution flag. They're going to run right on through the stages and keep going. They've also implemented the choose rule, which they didn't previously have for road courses. So we'll see how those things impact this race. It could be good. It could not be. We'll see.
Yeah, and with Chase Elliott out missing a road course event, considering how good he usually is, opens the door for others to slide up in there and grab the checkers.
Yeah, I look for that to be the case this weekend. You know, I would keep my eyes on, you know, Ross Chastain won this race last year. He's been really good so far, knocking on the door. I think he'll be good. Tyler Reddick won a couple of road course races last year. He was fastest in practice earlier this afternoon. I'd watch him. Kyle Larson had a couple of wins last year. So some of these young guys, Christopher Bell, I'd throw him in that mix, Austin Cindric. Some of these young guys who've come along in the last few years really have a handle on these road courses. So even without Chase in the field, I think you'll see one of those young guys up there contending and probably be hard to beat this weekend.
Okay, Jeff, as always, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week, and we'll see how it goes this weekend at COTA. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, what you got, Major?
I'm ready for you whenever you are.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds going into the break.
So you said we're going to come back with our favorite turkey call?
You want to give us a little taste of it right here? Does that bring a turkey? Now, you're trying to get the male or female turkey to come over?
That's the hen.
Which is the?
That's an excited call. She starts with a little bit of a scratch, you know, that kind of that yelp.
Okay. All right. Hang on. We'll be back. More turkey talk here on Sports Talk.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Classic, Phil Kornblut, Major Billy Downer from the Sportsman's Classic here at the State Fairgrounds. Just a moment, we're going to hear from the USC women from up in Greenville, but Major Downer now is going to provide us with a, what would you call this? The mating call of a what?
This be a turkey.
A turkey.
Phil.
Of a turkey. The mating.
We're going to do this. We're going to start off with a basic, the yelp. That's a putt.
Okay.
You'll hear more in the background there.
I think somebody's responding.
And then you can get a little excited with it and do the putt. And sometimes that makes them yelp a little more. I want to come and see what's going on.
Uh-huh. Now, so, how much pressure? What? Describe the parts. What are those parts called?
So this is a pot call. Pot call because it's a piece of wood. It's got a hollow point, and it's got a – this has got a slate across the top.
All right.
So it's a piece of slate.
Okay.
You got holes drilled in the bottom for the sound to escape.
All right.
And they're drilled in such a pattern to help sound reverberate in there.
Okay.
Before it comes out, to give it a little more of a sound. It'll get a little, you know, volume.
Okay.
Using a wood dowel.
Okay.
With a – on your striker here.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a thicker portion at the top. You're holding it about midway up the striker, and you're going to edge.
Uh-huh.
You're using the edge and just sliding through there.
How about that?
And this is a handmade call, custom call from John Tanner in Hemingway, South Carolina. He's been making calls for a number of years.
Yeah.
Very popular calls. Mr. Tanner's there in Hemingway. Matter of fact, we're giving a little shout-out here. He's here among many other turkey call manufacturers or people that make calls here at the Classic. But I like to highlight the folks that are here in South Carolina. He's here in South Carolina. He's from Hemingway. He makes these calls out of cypress and some other exotic different woods.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different woods have different sounds to them. He uses a glass, what they call a glass surface as well. And that's got a different sound to it. Some people are using anodized aluminum, or they use copper. It's popular now, the copper pots. All of them give a different tone. But Mr. Tanner's very popular. A lot of people have heard of his name before. That he's here selling his calls here in the Canny building. So I welcome those. If you're looking for a good turkey call, come see Mr. Tanner here at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic.
Give us one more verse. You look so serious when you're doing that, too. So at what
point? You got to put on the killer face.
But what point do you put the turkey call down and pick up the gun?
So there's a point where they get close, and you just take one hand, and you're holding that gun in one hand, you're taking your hand, you're just barely. Just enough to get them believing you're still there.
Uh-huh.
Just that little bit of a. Just a little noise.
Uh-huh.
So they're paying attention. That's why a lot of times using a decoy.
Yeah.
Well, they won't focus on you. They're looking at the decoy, which works. You're calling them in. They see the decoy. Then they're coming in. They're focusing on that decoy.
Yeah.
Because they're going to that decoy. Now the decoy begins to call them in. You can put the call down, pick the gun up.
It's all yours.
It's all yours.
Okay. All right. Smitty, let me update a couple things, and Smitty will take us to the USC women. Alabama leading San Diego State. Low-scoring game, San Diego State playing some D. Now it's 19-19. They've just tied it up. 19-19. Miami and Houston coming up. Princeton, Creighton, and Xavier, Texas to wrap it up. And now baseball, South Carolina, Missouri underway, bottom of the first. No score there. Clemson has taken a 1-0 lead on Georgia Tech, top of the fifth. Ferry with a homer to right puts the Tigers on top there. Coastal Carolina now with an 8-0 lead on Texas State. Charleston over Towson now 4-2. PC leading Charleston Southern 3-2. Gardner-Webb over Winthrop 3-2. Let's make it Coastal 10-0 over Texas State. Mercer over Citadel 6-3.
Ouch.
So, Smitty, let's listen to the USC women as they prepare for UCLA. What you got for us?
Yeah, well, Dawn Staley, you know, addressed the media earlier today. And what you need to know going into this is, you know, South Carolina, now that we've been covering this ball, this team, everybody's used to them winning, and they still are. They're 34-0, and they're favored in this ball game. But I want to remind you, this is a serious opponent. UCLA is ranked 14th in the country. They led South Carolina by double digits on their home floor earlier this season. It was way back in November, and Aaliyah Boston was coming off an injury. But this is a serious, serious opponent in the Bruins, and they're very well coached. You'll hear Dawn Staley refer to that. And they have a star guard that's a senior. So as you watch this ball game tomorrow, you want to remember Charisma Osborne coming off a 36-point outing. And she's a guard, so she will be going up against Bree Beal and Zaya Cook. So not that vaunted Gamecocks front court. She'd like nothing better than to take down the mighty Gamecocks in their backyard. Tomorrow's game, it's a rematch, and it will be intense, okay? They've got one veteran and a lot of young players. And you'll also hear Dawn Staley, and I'm glad Major Downer's here to hear this, talk about being a proud South Carolinian and what a great job Greenville does in hosting this tournament and others. And that's where we start with Coach Staley.
Super excited to get things going. And also to showcase our state. I think Greenville has done a tremendous job hosting the SEC tournament, and I'm so proud to be a South Carolinian so everybody can see just what our state has to offer.
Last game against UCLA was obviously a while ago, but do you think you'll see any similarities from what they ran, what you guys had to run to stop them from that game to come into this one?
I'm sure. I mean, if I had us on the ropes like they had us on the ropes, I would actually take some things that were pretty good and probably try to stick with those things that were good for us. But we'll probably see the sagging. We'll probably see the 32. Maybe they'll press us a little bit because I've seen them press. Much like us, they're going to probably throw it all out there because at this stage of the game, it is do what you need to do to get a victory.
Yeah, after that first matchup with UCLA, Coach was saying that you told her, we'll see y'all again this season. What was it about that matchup that you knew that this day would come down the road?
Well, I mean, we've always run into opponents that we've seen throughout the season, and I just felt like they were a really good opponent and an opponent that we'll probably face again. And I think they're just really, really well-coached and really – intentional about where they like to get their shots from, and they're really good at what they do, and it's, you know, on both sides of the basketball, and they rebound extremely well. So, I mean, it's a great matchup because we're probably, you know, very similar in those qualities.
Your offensive production is impressive, but the rebound margin and the blocks per game are staggering. Can you kind of put into perspective what those latter two stats have meant to the success of this team this year?
Obviously we got length, we have athleticism, I think, but the one thing that people don't often talk about is how incredibly smart our players are. They're highly intelligent. They're students of the game. They understand angles. They're super competitive because you can't do the things that we're doing without having a really good understanding of what's good about teams and try to take those things away, or knowing your scouting report where players are like to take their shots, and then, you know, creating an angle and a competitiveness to, you know, to cut that angle off and block a shot or deter a shot. And then just from a rebounding standpoint, rebounding is, you know, it's not a skill, it's a decision. You're either going to do it or you're not.
Jersey, the Yolanda jersey that you wore last week, I know you talked about why, but I'm actually curious on the specifics of how it actually got to you. And then in general, jerseys, how much thought do you actually put into whether it's a whim on the Eagles and having fun or honoring the game? How much thought do you put into the game day stuff?
I'm pretty intentional about what I wear and who I wear it for. The Yolanda jersey, I mean, Philly's big. So somebody from Philly got in contact with me and said that somebody wanted to give me a Yolanda jersey. And what size do I want? I'm like, yeah, I would like that. Cheney State jersey, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And you know, I talked to Coach Stringer. I think her birthday was March 17th. So, having spoken with her, having this person reach out to me, knowing what Yolanda has meant to youth league, youth development leagues in Philadelphia, it just made sense. And then I actually had a pair of pants that I didn't have to go with anything besides that jersey that I got. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This matches up pretty cool. But there's depth behind what I wear. When it's a jersey, when I'm honoring somebody because, you know, I know them, or like the Eagles jerseys, I mean, we had to put good synergy into trying to get another Super Bowl.
Hey, Don, when you walk in the doors of this arena, is it like walking into a second home or a place where you're almost as comfortable as Colonial Life Arena because of all the games you played here in recent years?
Not so much the games, it's the people. Like, you walk through and you see familiar faces and you say hello and they have, you know, you have conversation with them. You know, that is what feels comforting. Because I like to get to know the people who actually put these events on and make sure that they're trying to give us a really great experience. So I remember the experiences because of the people who, you know, they do the work. You know, we just go out there and perform. But it takes a lot to put on, you know, an SEC tournament, to put on a regional, to be a regional site. And I'm glad it's Greenville because of the relationships that we've built here.
What's it like to be, you know, kind of on the one of the stars of the stage, you and your team, for this TV ratings boom these last few years?
I mean, I just think it's cool. I mean, because we're, and I don't see us as a, you know, UConn or Tennessee. I mean, I don't see us as that, because they are the, you know, traditionally rich powerhouses of our game. But when you see South Carolina, we probably look like the rest of the country. You know, the trajectory that we've been experiencing, someone else could do it that looks like our team, meaning we're more of a blue collar, you know, nose to the ground program that has found some success. And, you know, I think we just try to do it the right way. And for people to tune in and want to watch us, it means that our game is growing. There is an opportunity for our game to grow. I'm a black coach, and I got a majority, predominantly black team. And for the viewers to tune into that, it means that we're opening doors that were closed for a program like us.
All right, comments from Dawn Staley from up in Greenville today. Comments from Dawn Staley from up in Greenville today as she's getting her Gamecocks ready to take on UCLA tomorrow afternoon in the Sweet 16 for the women. San Diego State 25-23 over Alabama, 1:22 to go in the half there. Houston 2-0 on Miami. They're just getting underway in that one. Update baseball, Clemson 1-0 over Georgia Tech, bottom of the fifth. South Carolina and Missouri, and it is scoreless, top of the second, and we'll be back after the break.
George Bryant here for Tsunami Bar Sports, and some say the fun is in the winning. I say the fun is in the training. And Tsunami Robbie, what do you say?
George, we all know you get more done when you're having fun. This technology is different, it's engaging, but it's also a lot of fun to use.
Hi, this is Phil Kornblut. Be sure to click on the digital ad on sportstalksc.com and get 5% off any Tsunami Bar order using promo code BBB5. Don't wait, order today.
Life, it has its ups and downs. Sometimes it's little things like hitting every red light or dropping your cell phone. Maybe it's the bills, rent, or pressure at work. But when it comes to the South Carolina Education Lottery, you should never feel like playing will solve everything. The lottery is a game. It's played for fun. So set a dollar amount Expect not to win and make sure responsibilities, family, friends, and work come first. Visit PlayResponsiblySC.com.
South Carolina's largest hunting, fishing, and outdoor expo takes center stage at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. Come on down for a good time with over 350 vendors, Dock Dogs competition, extreme raptor show, kids catfish pond, and much more family fun. Hope to see you at the Classic March the 24th through the 26th at the South Carolina State Fairgrounds.
All right, let's give you the recruiting report tonight here on Sports Talk, brought to you by our good friends at Seawells. And remember, Seawells right across the street from us here at the State Fairgrounds. They were closed today. They have a special event going on. But they'll be open Monday next week. Get back out there for the daily lunch and buffet from 11 till 2. It's only $13. And when you're best in the catering business, you got that special event coming up, something related to maybe a wedding reception, maybe a birthday party, a corporate outing, maybe an awards banquet, a business luncheon, whatever the case may be. You just give the folks at Seawells a call, and they'll take care of you. 803-771-7385, online at SeawellsCateringSC.com. All right, so in recruiting tonight, tell you about a couple of players. Aiken wide receiver Braylon Staley, been a Clemson target. Georgia Tech's been making a hard move with him here of late. Says he really loves the coaches, the receivers coach there. It's a new staff, and they are coming on pretty hard. Clemson remains in touch. He said maybe not as much as they had been, but it's still pretty regular with them. No issues. So he was at Georgia today. He's got a top 10, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, Miami, Tennessee, Penn State, Florida. Those are the ones that have been in regular contact. He was at Georgia today. He's got Auburn coming up, Miami and Florida, and a visit to Georgia Tech. He was at Clemson for their junior day in January. He's got an official there on June 2nd, and he might get back there soon for a spring practice if he can work it out. He's also, of course, a track athlete. In a meet earlier this week, he won the 200 meters. He recorded a PR in the triple jump of 48. Well, I said feet. I guess it's probably meters, right? They probably use meters, 48 meters. I guess that's a lot to do in a triple jump. USC special teams coach Pete Limbo looking for a kicker in the 24 class. One candidate is Kieran Corr, 6'2", 175, Winchester, Massachusetts. Visited last Saturday. They haven't offered, but they like him, and they want to see him kick in camp for a PWO or maybe a potential scholarship offer. He is the 14th ranked kicker in the country, coming off the Coles underclassmen camp in Florida in January, and he was really, really good in that camp. He's also an excellent student. He's been to Yale, Harvard, Villanova. USC last weekend said it was a great time, loved everything about it, and he'll be back to kick for them in the summer to see what he can do. USC target running back Chris Davis of Picayune, Mississippi, committed to Ole Miss. He was at a USC junior day in January. Clemson target receiver Alex Taylor was at NC State yesterday, and USC and Clemson target receiver Jonathan Paler visited today. 2023 receiver cornerback Pedro Reyes of Cardinal Newman plans to visit Cincinnati April 3rd. Basketball, former Clemson small forward Chauncey Gibson is transferring to Tulsa. And according to verbal commits, 6'4", Jalen Forrest of Presbyterian, 6'5", Linton Brown of Coastal Carolina, and 6'3", Jonathan Steelman of Wofford. They are all in the transfer portal, John, to be flushed out to another program, the portal, John. Okay, there you go with recruiting, brought to you by Seawells. Now, Major Downer has another special guest for us here, Major.
Yep, we've got Brad Taylor with us this afternoon, this evening. Brad's been on the show before. Brad is Taylor Outdoors, the owner, proprietor, operator expert fisherman, alligator man. Brad, you're here at the show, the Classic. Just wanted to get kind of perspective as somebody that is a vendor here. Why are you here? Why do you come to the Classic?
I'm here to the Classic to support the folks that do business with us, to say, hey, guys, we're still out here, and to promote our business to people that don't know. There's a lot of people out that aren't outdoors people. They don't realize that they can hire someone to take their family, their grandkids, expose them to fishing, and give them a good opportunity on the lake, something that they may have never been in a boat or on the water or fish. So giving folks that opportunity and letting them know what we're doing is what we're here for.
All right, so you specialize in striper fishing, I know. Some crappie, what else?
We
big offer, bass, I know that too.
Occasionally we'll catch some big bass, as you know. yeah, so we'll offer a few trips for every kind of fishes in the lake. We catch some perch, some crappie, brim, catfish occasionally. So we just try to kind of cater. Some folks are just interested for something to tug their line. And there are people out there, too, that are trying to catch every species. So they're looking for anything they can to check that off their bucket list. But striped bass and crappie are kind of what we specialize in.
All right. So today, you basically, you also have your family landing, and y'all have that here as well, talking to folks about where to go to the lake. What side of that? You know, the business-wise, it's kind of just a meet and greet for the whole weekend?
Absolutely. We're, like I say, we're here. We're telling people what we've got. The family business, my family's owned a marina, owned the lake for quite a few years. We have cabins, a public boat ramp that folks can come use. We sell bait, tackle, ice drinks, hot dogs, hamburgers, the whole nine yards. But, yes, folks can come stay in our cabins for a weekend, fish on their own, fish off the docks, take a guided trip or whatnot. And do it all right there.
And you've been an active participant here with as far as with the wildlife department. You've been the director for Kent Wildwood for how many years?
That's a loaded question, Billy. I came to work with the camp in 1995 as a counselor.
Right.
So I
you
was
went
say,
to camp when?
In 1993 as a camper.
Met your wife.
That's it. Met my wife there.
At the camp?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
uh-huh. She was head boys. She was head girls. Counselor.
Really?
She was a staff also. I would say about 2000, I became the director of the program. And here we are today.
A lot of folks that don't know about that camp, it's sponsored by the local garden clubs in South Carolina, right? And they send kids, both boys and girls, from high school age, typically, to Kent Wildwood, and the department sponsors that along with, as far as we provide staff, and you help provide the counselor staff, as far as the professional staff come from DNR.
That's correct.
And we teach things like fisheries, biology, forestry. We do some hunter ed, boater ed there, and, of course, the camp things, games, and everything else.
Absolutely.
What else would you say about Wildwood while we're here, just for a moment, to kind of tell folks about Kent Wildwood that may not have heard about it?
It's a great program to introduce young people into the outdoors and the natural resources. But our big focus with kids today is you take kids, put them in an outdoor environment. We have no air condition. They're just rustic cabins.
Kings Mountain State Park.
That's it, Kings Mountain State Park. Cabins that were built by the CCA back there during the Depression era, and we take these kids out of their natural environment at home with all the luxuries, no cell phones,
no internet,
and
for
a week. We make
Did
them.
Did you have Aaron Rodgers there recently?
Not quite.
Sounds like his kind of place.
Yeah, but we make them function face to face, person to person. There's no texting, no emailing. It is a one-on-one thing, and we're teaching them how to communicate, leadership, and things like that.
Well, Brad, thanks for being a part of the show, coming up here, and thank you for what you do for us at Wildwood, and good luck to you during the show this weekend.
Absolutely. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you for coming over.
Taylor Outdoors, if you want to do a good fishing trip on Lake Murray.
TaylorOutdoors.com.
That's it.
And thank you, Major Downer. It's been a blast.
Always a pleasure.
Send them out with a smile. We'll be back, birdies and bogeys.
four. Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day. But it went straight down the middle.
Okay, back with you on Sports Talk at the Sportsman's Classic. Thanks to Major Downer for being with us. Loved his guest tonight. Hope you enjoyed everything that he had to say and bring to you. Speaking of right down the middle, the Gamecocks must have caught a pitch right down the middle as they got a grand slam a little while ago to take a 4-0 lead on Missouri in the top of the third. McGillis with the home run to left field. Gamecocks up 4-0, and Clemson now leading Georgia Tech 2-0. Top of the sixth, they got two runners on. And with that, right down the middle is where we like to take it on the fairways of South Carolina. We welcome in the man who hits it down the – I've never seen George miss a fairway in all my years. He probably has at some point in his life missed a fairway. I wasn't there to see it. We welcome in George Bryan III. Birdies and bogeys and biceps. George is the birdies. I'm the bogeys. Robbie Thames is the biceps. Robbie's not with us tonight, so biceps are relaxing. George, how are you?
Oh, couldn't be better. And, you know, as we get to talking on this radio, we just grow into a very special place. Mistake-free. The longer we talk on the radio, the better we get. And, of course, this is all in our imagination. And, of course, you've never seen me miss a fairway, Phil. Not on the radio. Can't happen.
That's right.
Or a green. Or a putt.
That's right. That's right.
We got.
That's right.
We got a lot.
Well,
we got a lot to cover with golf. This is our golf season. Sometimes I get a little excited, and you're going to have to settle me down. And so
okay.
We got a very special guest. We got a very special guest tonight that will, to as best can be done, fill in for Tsunami Robbie while he takes a break. And I'll tell you what, I do want to take this time to throw out and mentioned that somebody close to him passed, and he is at a funeral. So our thoughts and prayers are with Tsunami Robbie and his family. And so Andrew Allen from Myrtle Beach is going to sub in a little bit, and then he is going to tell us about some cool things coming up in just a bit, Phil. When I'll let you, since you are the captain tonight, I'll let you bring him in when you are ready. But we got, you're right. You sent me a little text. Lots going on. Got pro golf in different places. Got college golf, and you tee it up. I'll follow you today.
Well, very quickly, you know, we got the match play, the World Golf Championships, Dell Technologies match play in Austin, Texas. We're going to have NASCAR and PGA Tour in Austin, Texas, the same weekend. How about that? And just looking at some of the winners today as they narrow the field, Kurt Kitayama, Mackenzie Hughes, Colin Morikawa, I think, won. Corin Morikawa won. Siwoo Kim. Or am I reading this on the wrong side? Hang on a second. Make that, let's see, Shane Lowry won. He beat Jordan Spieth. Make that Matt Kuchar won over Siwoo Kim, and Jason Day won over Colin Morikawa. Well, they put the word wins on the side of the guy that won, so I want to make sure I get this right. Scottie Scheffler won.
I don't know how many times, Phil, I can't tell you. I don't know how many times I've looked at this, and I guess you picked up. You need to take the lead on figuring this leaderboard out.
It's confusing. It looks like Russell Henley won. Ryan Fox, Cameron Young, Billy Horschel, Ricky Fowler won. Let's see, Nick Taylor, Victor Perez. I got to get on down here a little bit later in the action. So many groups,
Cameron,
and so many different levels.
Cameron Young looks like he won. I can't tell. It's hard for me to tell what I'm looking at. This technology, I'm learning.
Yeah.
But it is hard to tell.
I'm seeing here. I'm seeing here that Billy Horschel beat John Rahm. So anyway, that's that. And they're also playing in the down in the Dominican. That's where the guys who aren't playing in this, they're playing down in the Dominican. Am I correct about that?
Yes, and Wesley gets to spend the weekend with his family, so I know his girls will be excited about that. And he missed the cut by a shot, but it is cool to see.
Ooh.
Ben Martin, he's at 6 under. Jonathan Bird is at 4 under, while Matt Wallace is leading at 11 under. I have to catch a little bit of it on TV, and then saw really good out of Sam Stevens, some good golf. I was looking down the list. We had a couple other of the locals in the event. Not sure how they fared, but we can look as we scroll the leaderboard.
I got it right here. Scott Brown had a pair of 72, so he's even. Carson Young had a 70 today. He's minus one. Andrew Novak, a 72, so he's minus two. You mentioned Jay Bird and Bill Haas. So those are the ones from here who are going to make the cut. Tommy Gainey, 76, 78, plus 10. DJ Trahan, 76, 72, plus 4. William McGirt, 73, 73, plus 2. And you mentioned Wesley, 72, 73, and he finishes at plus 1. And as you said, the cut must have come in at even par.
Even par.
The cut came in at even par. Yep, so the plus ones didn't make it. And we got college golf. Before we get to your guest, we've got the Liz Murphy in Athens, and you've got South Carolina, fourth-ranked team in the field, or fourth-ranked team in the country in the field. And they, after today's opening round, plus two, they're 13 back of Auburn. Auburn shoots minus 11. That's good playing. Florida even, and Virginia is plus one. And for the USC women today, you've got, Matilda Classe did not have it today. She shot an 81. Wow. But Hannah Darling had a 73. Louise Ringquist had a 69. She was the low score for the Gamecocks. And then you've got the tournament at Clemson, the Clemson Invitational. Tigers are ranked 28th, and they lead their own tournament after a round. They are at 7 under. 6 shots ahead of Ole Miss, and Furman is 15th at plus 28. And for the Tigers, the best score of the day for them, let's see, for the Clemson, the best score of the day came from, looks like Annabelle Pancake shot a 69. And Sydney Roberts shot a 69. So, now, here's a 68 for them as well. Savannah Grewal had a 68. One thing about this, George, I'm noticing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They let 8 players play. Usually it's 5, right? But I guess you can – different tournaments have different rules.
At 8. I'm not looking – I'm very fortunate to have any technology at all at this point in the day. And I'm not looking at your scoreboard, but typically it's 5 play for 4. You might be looking at some of the individuals who are posting. If you look at the team score, if it's in that 300 range, that means it was a 4 players score. So the team.
Yeah.
But you could be looking at the individuals, and then you have to click on the team part to access who actually is playing in the tournament for the team. Hey, college golf. Golf in the team realm is very difficult to follow. High school golf, for example, and I do want to recognize in a tri-match, Lenrick hosted Westwood. Westwood technically was a host school, and Ben Lippin won the tri-match, and that was this past Tuesday with Grant Zoller, the medalist. In that particular match, Bill, they had 6 players on the team. Four take the best 4 out of 6. But most of the college team scores are 5 for 4. But occasionally you do see some where it's you'll see a 3 of 4 players and then take below 3, but mostly 5 for 4.
I wanted to mention one Clemson player who you've talked about many times, and that's Isabella Rawl, right? As somebody you know pretty well, she shot 71.
We've had her on the radio show, Phil, this past spring. She committed to go to Clemson as an eighth grader, to my knowledge.
Wow.
I think she would be the first one I knew in person that committed that early to go to college to play golf. And so I'm glad to see she is in the lineup and playing well. She is incredibly talented, hardworking, and most importantly, she is a very kind individual. So I tell you what, I think I'm going to encourage, do we have some more college golf? You said you had another leaderboard pulled up, and I'm blanking. I'm all whiffs tonight on my technology. I got a
That's okay.
Going.
That's okay. Now that's it for the college golf. I'm going to check for some SCGA stuff, but if you want to bring in your guests, ready to rock and roll.
I would love to. And this segment, our segment is sponsored by Tsunami Bar Sports, and we have a dealer, a Tsunami Bar Sports dealer who is from Ainer. First of all, this is a man of faith and family. He owns Swing and Putt in Ainer, South Carolina, and I'd like to welcome to the team Mr. Andrew Allen. Good evening, Andrew. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. George. How are you doing, sir?
Couldn't be better, and it's really a privilege to have you on our show.
Thank you, sir.
Tsunami Robbie is not with us tonight. He came to visit you last weekend, and I'll let you – you're going to have some time and space to talk about what you do, but first things first, it was a privilege having you in Columbia this past week. You brought your lovely daughter, Sydney, over, and how was the ride home, Andrew? I hadn't spoken with you live since then.
It was real chatty. The visit with you was so productive. And the time is always so well spent when we make the trip up there and see you. And it's just got Sydney so fired up, not just for golf, but believing in herself. And that's what excites me as a father and as a coach more than anything. You know, I look at the sports as a vehicle that we get to use to lead our youth and help them to shape them into being fine, you know, young citizens of the world. And dedication that you put into it, Mr. George, just makes the trip so worth the while, and all the time we spend with you is well cherished, and we appreciate it.
Well, completely a privilege. And so, Phil, Andrew Allen is a golf and fitness expert. He is one that is not just one who can talk about the golf swing and all the fundamentals that go along with that, but he's very unique in that he is a physiologist, and I would call not just a fitness expert, biomechanist, and a wellness. He loves helping people with their taking care of themselves and educating. He's got a place right in the middle of Ainer that he hosts his students and his clients and his guests right in his on a property right in downtown Ainer. So tell us just a little bit about what you do, Andrew.
Absolutely, and thank you. So we have put together a city block and took half of it and privately fenced it in. And that's nice so that you can have private one-on-one or private group lessons. And so that's real nice. And we've got a putting green, and the same putting green that we have was supersized. It was called the Jordan Spieth package because, well, I guess you can figure that the reason why they called that is because that's the exact package they put in his backyard, the company that I chose to put my package together in my backyard. And we put some bunkers in the ground and a rough area to hit out of, and then inside the 40-by-50 building we have teaching simulator and software and over 7,000 golf courses and pressure mats and plates and video analysis and a lot of different training aids that make sense. Not tons of them, but the ones that really make sense. Things that help you become aware of your balance, and which is so key
in anything athletics, but especially golf, Mr. George. And we teach all ages. If you're old enough to walk, or if you're able to get away from the walker and grab onto a golf club and just come out and putt, we'll take anybody, old and young, from all walks of life. And my whole, in my heart, I'm a servant of others. That's how I've always been. And donate, feel great is how I am. And if I won the lottery tomorrow, George, I'd still be doing exactly what I'm doing now, but I'd still charge $1 or $5 or something for lessons because, you know, free people don't value the same. But I'm right where I should be. And I love what I'm doing, and I'm just trying to give all of the things that the Lord has blessed me with in wisdom and knowledge at the age that I've obtained at 53 and the things that I've studied with great passion, driven from overcoming a childhood joint disease and to be able to live a pretty normal lifestyle. You know, I've always pushed ahead of that, and I try to help anybody and everybody any way I can when I meet them to help them to realize they could be a better version of themselves in just an instant. It becomes with an intention, and you place that intention before you in your mind, and then you just do it. You start. You have to put a foot in front of the other, and you would be amazed at how much you can grow in your life with that kind of faith. And so that's about us and swing and putt here in Ainar.
And that, how do we get anybody out there listening? How do they get in touch? What's the best way?
Best way is they can contact me directly at 843-601-1006 and leave a text. They can go on our website at swingandputt.com and reach us that way. And so that's two great ways of reaching us. And the direct line is always available.
Say it again. Say that phone number again.
843-601-1006.
It's a privilege to have you as a dealer of the Tsunami Bar. And Phil, I tell you what, he comes over. We get together, and we just can't. It can't be a 10 to 15 minute session. Not with Andrew and Sydney. We're talking 3 hours goes by in a blink, and before you know it, a half a day, and then the whole day's gone. He is fired up about golf and helping people understand the value of taking care of their bodies and fitness. Phil, he like I said, he's a dealer in Ainar, and I'm not sure we're set up at the Tsunami Bar Sports to direct people quite to you, but we'll be working on that, Andrew. Because if you're heading towards Myrtle Beach, Ainar is right on the way. I think, Phil, you mentioned you drive through Ainar frequently.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, growing up in Latta, I know he knows where Latta is. And through 501 Ainar all the time. Ainar was, when I was in high school, Ainar was one of our big rivals, the Blue Jackets and the Vikings of Latta. Yeah, so I know. I know you know the Grahams, Graham golf car business and all that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. I married into the Skipper family here in Ainar, and Papa Skipper cut hair in the same spot for right at 57 years in downtown Ainar.
How about that? Did you know Freddie Graham?
Yes, sir.
Yep, Mr. Freddie.
Yep, through my wife's family, I've met the Grahams, and they still the Grahams run a very large golf cart business. I'm sure anybody that's ever looked at buying a golf cart in the state of South Carolina and maybe beyond has heard the name Graham's Golf Carts. Not to give a plug for them, but that is the truth. They're rather
that's
big
all right.
and all things golf
Freddie,
carts. So.
Freddie used to call the show. He would call the show. He's a big Gamecock fan, and he would begin every one of his phone calls with, "This is Freddie from Ainar," and we knew who it was, but everything began with, "This is Freddie from Ainar," and then he would go into what he was calling about. So known him. Actually, I've stopped by a couple of times to visit with him when I've gone through Ainar, but now I'm going to stop by and visit you. I hate to spoil the phone call for you, but at some point here in the near future, I'm going to stop by and say hello now that I know you're there.
That's fantastic. I look forward to that.
Well, that's I got to tell you that Andrew, when the first time he saw the Tsunami Bar, Andrew, describe how you use the Tsunami Bar and what you do with your students. What you see the benefits are, please, sir.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Well, when I picked the thing up, I was, what do I have in my hand here? You know, it wasn't stiff, it wasn't loose, and I started to move it, and I noticed it started moving as I moved. And then a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, well, this thing's good for timing and tempo. What is my timing and tempo? And then I started playing around with locking my arms out and bumping my knees, so it's just kind of gently moving my knees up and down, and to put pressure into the ground to feel where my balance was in my feet. Is it my toes? Am I falling forward? Is it my heels? Is it my flat? And then finding, you know, that balance point. And then I would play around with my arms a little bit and move it back and forth and with some range of motion too. And as I did it, I immediately felt the benefit, because the Tsunami Bar, for whatever effort you give it out, it gives it back to you. And trifold. I mean, it just keeps coming in waves and waves. And the best way I can describe it to me is it feels like it's just bathing my nervous system with an activity that wakes it up. And there's parts of my body, gentlemen and ladies that are listening in, that are awake now, that are inevitably falling asleep as we get older. And at 53 years old now, from using this Tsunami Bar on a regular daily basis, challenging my balance and working on my whole body from all different angles, I'm about as fit as I've been all the way back to whenever I was very competitive in athletics, you know, in my teen years and 20 years. And to do that at 50, I guess maybe that's the secret, George. We don't know, but maybe Bernhardt Langer has Mr. Langer has one of these Tsunami Bars. And that's why he's got the longevity he has, but something's working for him.
Andrew, it was invented in the Clemson weight room for football players, and you know a little bit about the story, but I think greatest beneficiaries are going to be those climbing the ladder in age, and when they think some of that muscle fiber is going to sleep or taking a rest, that Tsunami Bar will wake it right up. And Phil just gave me the 1 minute countdown, which means we're gonna have to putt out here, Andrew. And I love the way you described it. We're gonna definitely have him back on the show, because Tsunami Robbie visited last week, so we got to follow that up. Maybe even during Masters week we'll be doing some extra shows as Masters and Harbortown come rolling around, and Andrew, we'll have you back on the show. Andrew got a little, he started sharing with me some of the backwards moves. We'll talk more about that next time you're on, Andrew. So please,
yes, sir.
Please tell Sydney I said hello, and look forward to having you back next time, Andrew. You have a good evening.
Will do, and you gentlemen, y'all do the same. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, that's of Swing and Putt over in Ainer, and he gave you all the contact info. Phil, tell you what, it's we do miss Tsunami Robbie. We got a lot to talk about as far as what's during Masters and Harbortown Week. Tsunami Bar Sports got some really cool things that when Robbie's back on, we have on our horizon, including a very special short game area that's under construction right now, a lot of new developments associated with that and other sports. So you can tell my voice is shutting down too, Phil. And until next week, tee 'em high, but shoot 'em low.
As always, George, and right down the middle. Thank you very much, my friend. Great stuff. And thank you, Andrew, for being with us. Appreciate you being on. Wrapping things up tonight, guys. And USC has hit a grand slam and a solo homer, 5-2 on Mizzou. Clemson a 3-1 lead on Georgia Tech. And, Chris, how'd that LSU game turn out real quick?
LSU held on. They got a horrible call against them down the stretch on Angel Reese. Fouled her out, but Utah missed both free throws, and LSU ultimately won to advance to the Elite Eight.
All right, very good. Follow Smitty in Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you Monday.